Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Are you the one? That is the critical question that John the Baptist, from a prison cell where he will spend the final days of his life, that is the critical question that John the Baptist wants Jesus to answer. Perhaps John is aware that his public ministry is over and that his execution is imminent. And so he wants to know, did he get it right? Did he prophesy accurately? Were his words true? And so, given that his chains do not allow him to ask Jesus in person, John sends forth his disciples with that question. Are you the one? Now, just last week in this place, we heard John speak from a different place and a different perspective. Last week, as we heard the passage from the third chapter of Matthew, John was in the wilderness proclaiming a message of repentance, letting the people know that the kingdom of heaven had drawn near, and people from all over the region were coming to him, confessing their sins and being baptized in the River Jordan. And as we heard in last week's gospel, John was the one about whom the prophet Isaiah foretold when he described the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, one who was preparing the way for the Lord. John was in the wilderness, baptizing with water for repentance and predicting that one who was more powerful than him was coming after him to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, what we didn't hear last week were the verses that immediately follow that passage. But those verses are important to remember as we get to this point in John's ministry. They are verses that we will hear proclaimed in this space 4 weeks from now when we celebrate the feast of the baptism of our Lord. Jesus comes to John for baptism, and John recognizes Jesus as the one for whom he was waiting, the one about whom he has prophesied. And at first, John objects, basically saying, "No, Jesus, you need to baptize me, not the other way around." But Jesus insists, and so John baptizes Jesus, and as Matthew records it, suddenly the heavens were opened and the Spirit of God descended like a dove on Jesus, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." So one would imagine that John had little doubt about who Jesus was in that moment. But some time has passed, and the scenery and the circumstances have changed. John is no longer basking in the glory of God while standing in the River Jordan. Instead, he is bound in prison, and he sits waiting. And as he hears news of what Jesus is doing in his continued ministry, he sends him this inquiry: "Are you the one?" At the very least, John seems to be in some need of reassurance about the very good news that was proclaimed in his midst as he stood in the waters of the Jordan with Jesus at his side. Perhaps he is wearied by his imprisonment, and the luster of that moment has faded in his mind. Perhaps the fragility and uncertainty of life has impressed upon him And he longs for the encouragement that a positive response might offer. Or maybe, like many in the Jewish community at that time, he was hoping that the Messiah would lead a political revolution and overthrow their Roman occupiers, the very ones whose appointed ruler now had John imprisoned and by whose order John would be executed. Was it not the role of the Messiah to set the captives free? And if so, why was John still chained? Either way, John has received word about Jesus' continued ministry, and it leads him to that question: are you the one? And Jesus responds, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their light, their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. Now, I would have loved to see the reaction that John had when he heard those words from Jesus. To the extent that John had any question or any doubt, I imagine that those doubts or questions were erased when he heard those particular words from Jesus. For John would have heard in that response an echo of a powerful prophecy attributed to the prophet Isaiah. The very same prophet whose words foretold of John as a voice crying out in the wilderness. John would have heard in Jesus' response a fulfillment of that great prophecy that Isaiah foretold of a day when a wilderness would be transformed, when life unexpected would bloom in the desert. It is the very same prophecy that we heard read aloud moments ago as our first lesson, the 35th chapter of Isaiah. And in it, Isaiah speaks of a day when the people of God shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. And according to Isaiah, the glory of the Lord, the majesty of God, will be made manifest by the following: the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. Contrary to those who expected that God's glory would be found in a forceful political revolution against the dark forces of injustice, forces like those of the empire that bound him in chains, Jesus was letting John know that God's glory is known, the Messiah is revealed, not by shifting worldly alliances, but rather because the blind see, the lame walk, the sick are healed, the deaf hear, the dead live, the poor have good news. The oppressed and the weak are being empowered, but not so that they can return violence to their oppressors, but rather so that they can give testimony to a Messiah that rejects the oppressive forces of this world. Jesus is letting John know that as John waits, as we wait, God's kingdom is breaking into this world through the work that Jesus and his followers are already doing. The work of healing the sick, empowering the disabled, feeding the hungry, standing with the oppressed, laboring on behalf of the weak. And it was this good news that broke the chains that bound John. For even as John prepared to die at the hands of those who rejected the good news, John was free. Free in the knowledge that the one for whom he had waited had arrived. And like John, we are also free. Free to spend what remains of our lives in service to the one who revealed God's kingdom to John. The one for whom all the world waits. The one who came and is to come.